This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
These kids need to stop twitching and go to bed!
Fullcast After Dark for men.
Oh, wow. To the full cast after dark.
Hey man, sometimes you know, sometimes the opening kickoff it bounces to the side, and then that first snap you got.
That was Joe Flacco on the Broncos. Right,
sometimes
there.
You know,
a high snap that hits you in the nards.
It's raining. You got like 17 guys injured, but you fight through it. That's what Spencer did.
Thank you. Not playing injured, just playing husky.
It sounded like you were yelling through the vegetable misters that were on display at Kroger Field tonight.
Listen, let's attack this show with the energy of commenter EDW388, who for some reason just said, "Take down the con!" That's right.
I have an important update.
Already?
Yes. So all before right. We got started, I forget who, I think it was Holly, wanted to know.
No, it wasn't.
In relation to Sam Hartman?
Oh, no.
Who wanted to know if there had ever been a Hallmark Christmas...
Oh, me. That was me.
Yeah, you want to know if there had ever been a Hallmark Christmas male lead with just a mustache. And so
no beard. Yeah.
So I reached out to trusted Hallmark expert.
Of course she had an answer for this.
Alex McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
Her answer. This is from Christmas Comes Home to Canaan, 2011. The closest I can find is Billy Ray Cyrus wearing only a soul patch.
That's like an inverse mustache.
Mm-hmm. It's a mustache that got lost.
Ooh.
Anyway, So Sam Hartman, shave the beard, go mustache only, conquer the world of Hallmark film the same way that you and your team conquered USC.
I don't know if Notre Dame will permit that kind of raw Van by the River energy in their halls.
Well, listen, the Sam Hartman thirst remains real on multiple social media platforms.
Today was also the day I discovered Mom TikTok. Holy shit.
Mom Talk is horny as fuck.
Mom Talk's got it bad.
Yeah, for Sam Hartman.
I don't want to be in there.
Yeah. They are.
Well, it's not fair because he's like 24.
He's dad age.
Yeah.
So it's not like the age gap discourse. You can settle down because he is the age of a parent.
Yeah. You could.
I'm just like, now that there are college football players who are conceivably old enough to be my own children, it's just suddenly. Ooh.
Yeah. Listen,
it suddenly gets squicky to me.
Apparently the handsome butcher who helps the failed publishing lady find love in her hometown. That's the model we're putting on.
But what about her family's Christmas tree farm?
Is Alex Grinch the failed publishing lady? I don't understand.
So wait, this makes what, like Wake Forest was the big city business boyfriend who didn't have time for love?
I work for the Bank of Wake Forest. I can't find a wife.
I'm here to close down the Christmas tree farm.
Evidently, we've already got a fight in the Idaho-Montana game. That's awesome.
That's right.
Coming on the heels of a spectacular nut punch in the Tulane
Memphis
game.
That's how we do in the Big Sky Conference.
Dude, somebody fighting in the end zone in Kentucky-Mizzou hit a ref who didn't even appear to notice that he had been struck.
It's called the Big Sky because you're going to wish that's where you were once I hit you.
Because you're going to be looking at it.
Yeah.
That's right. Unless you fall face down, which is also an option.
Face forward, West Gate, your ass is going to be looking at
then
it.
Then it's the close dirt.
It's the close dirt conference.
The ground's big, ain't it? Hey, are we supposed to say the Coors Light thing or not? I can never remember.
Just say it in case, Spencer.
No, because I'll mess it up. Someone else needs to say it. I'm not going to.
Folks, this episode is either is or isn't, brought to you by Coors Light, where the can turns blue when it's cold enough to drink, but it already was, because drinking warm liquid is fine.
Schrodinger's beer sponsor.
Mountain cold refreshment, made to chill.
Thank you. I did have, speaking of another sponsor, I did have two fast twitches today.
You had two?
I had two.
You had my fast twitches. That box was addressed to me.
That's like 6 cups of coffee, I think.
I feel fantastic.
I bet.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, where do you want to start then?
Oh, I would love to go ahead. Let's start with the red meat. Let's start with the mains. Let's start with an entree. Let's start with
Colorado Stanford. It is.
That is correct. we will talk a little bit about
Holly
that.
Holly and I stayed up to watch it.
Yeah. No, let's go. Let's go ahead.
It was very difficult not to summon the rest of you at like 2 a.m. I know we all know what happened at this point, but can I just quote No Escalators, who had the best encapsulation of the game that I have seen? Dion is just speedrunning 10 years of football in a single season. We're getting every type of game. Big upset, humiliating Nebraska, closer than it should be rivalry game, humiliating blowout loss, just short, huge comeback, huge blown lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Ryan added, still remaining. Backup QB has monster day in victory, win on total bullshit call, destroyed by Alabama or Georgia in an NFL stadium in week 1, unwatchable 11-6 final either side, and lose on total bullshit call. You decide how those are going to be doled out the rest of the season.
I mean, Iowa seems to have unwatchable 11-6 final on lockdown.
Dude, I'm sorry. A 2-score win today for Iowa. They won by 2 scores.
So Colorado has 6 different kinds of games already. Yes. Iowa has only 1 game ever.
Yep.
Ryan, did you stay up for the press conference? Because Dion said something extraordinary.
No, all right, so I said this elsewhere. To me, and maybe it was just the haze of the lateness on Friday night, but when Stanford kicked a field goal on first down in the second overtime, not the first down, they moved the chains once, and then they just immediately brought out the kicker. I was so convinced that they were going to miss that when they didn't, I was just like, all right, I think my brain is not working anymore. So I went to bed immediately thereafter.
I don't know if there's a word for this, but if there's like a term, probably like a Japanese or German word for something you really, really want to hear an opponent say about you. Because I would love to conclude a battle of any sort and have somebody say about me what Dion said about Stanford last night.
What did Dion say about Stanford?
This is just the start, just the first 2 sentences of his opening statement, which were, hats off to our opposition today. I am truly upset, truly disturbed. I am truly disturbed.
That's the Iowa effect.
You upset him on a spiritual level. He was absolutely correct, but like, I would love to hear an opponent say that about me.
For somebody who was so animated as a player, and can be animated in many other circumstances, Deion Sanders was amazingly placid during the game. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I think like it was very interesting that like as this was unraveling, he was not losing his mind, going off on anybody. He was just taking on.
Give him a real evil Kermit air under the hood.
On the sideline, he is notably tranquil and has been, and like was last year. You know, like as a coach, it's very clear when he is on stage and when he's not on stage.
Right. His defensive coordinator, who I believe is Charles Kelly, looked like a third party had hacked the system and taken control of his limbs and was just flinging him around the sideline in not so much a rage as a frenzy, I think is the word.
They're spending it at an online pharmacy out of Kyiv.
Hey, I'll break it in real quick here. We have 10 seconds to go on YouTube TV anyway, in the Miami, North Carolina game with North Carolina up by 10. Stay tuned for whatever the hell Mac is going to try and do to Mario, who he will absolutely call Mario.
Who has the ball?
It's over.
Miami has the ball. 2-1. Deep throw to the end zone. Oh, God, intercepted. It's a goal line.
All right.
Don't you hate those end of game Miami turnovers? They're the worst.
Geez. Zoom.
We did have somebody say, we did have a reader say earlier tonight that they were listening to our prior episode about Miami. Hang on, here they come.
Yeah, no, I want to point out something that Mario did here.
Wait, clutch. Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Mario's very strong.
So, Mario, in order to prevent Mac from getting a full double clutch 10 to 15 second interaction.
He almost did the swim move.
No.
He almost did the swim move away from him.
He shook the hand and he put his left arm between him and Mac so that he could disengage quickly. Mac got a quick grab of the left arm.
Mac got around him and got the elbow back in and got a little bit of a second hit.
He did, but Mario was already skedaddling. That was the best handled Mac Brown handshake I've seen yet, Mario. Way to protect your energy. I love it.
Yeah, like that's it. Mario, now just apply that to everything else and you'll be good. You'll be in good shape. Mario was ready. He was very prepared for this.
I am assuming anyone listening to this has already seen Stanford's helmet catch to tie the game in the first overtime. If you haven't, where basically Travis Hunter becomes the meat in a catch sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not in a mean way, just sort of a gentle way.
Yeah.
No, it was a pretty mean way because this came after a full quarter just about of Stanford treating of Stanford's offense treating Travis as though his last name was Sweeney and he was spawn of Dabo. Like, they were targeting him. At one point, they threw at him three times in a row successfully.
I truly couldn't tell if they were targeting him or if they were targeting, excuse me, Elik Eomanor, who
I know. Well, of course, but I think obviously they weren't targeting Travis. They were targeting the enormous Stanford's got some big fast.
Yeah, who prior to this game, by the way, had 208 yards receiving on the season and had 293 last night. That catch.
Also, mm-hmm. He's Canadian.
Uh-huh, from Medicine Hat. He's from Medicine Hat, Alberta.
What would you say is a Medicine Hat?
I looked it up.
We actually looked this up. We looked this up at 2 in the morning.
Great. Yes, it is a translation of the term for the feather headdress worn during... Oh. Special ceremony.
Worn by a medicine man. So actually it's medicine man hat, but medicine hat is way better. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. So not those little like white squares with like the red thing that just sort of rest on top of the hair.
And not a beer helmet. It's not a term
that,
for
that
a beer
helmet. That beer helmet was going to be my guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my medicine hat.
If you could have like, if you're scared of needles something or something, maybe there is a way to do the post-game hangover spa IV where you just drink your saline through a beer helmet.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Let me...
But anyway, Eomanor was like, Eomanor was being covered by Travis, of course, who the announcers kept referring to with shakier and shakier voices as like, the best cover guy in college football?
Who also had a very nice day on the receiving end of things because they continue to use him both ways.
Yeah, which they maybe shouldn't have done that.
Who played like 140 snaps.
No, 157.
Yeah. They were like, Eomanor was visibly exhausted by the end of the game. And I can't imagine how Travis felt. But in a couple of these shots where you saw them, like where you saw the two of them framed in a pylon cam and they landed, they're basically leaning on each other to get up.
157 snaps. I want to salute Stanford for doing my favorite thing, which was pressing the button and that kept working. Salute Stanford's play calling for just going pass.
It's wild because usually when this happens, it's, oh man, replacement player X or freshman cornerback Y is having a really bad day. Not guy who's been lauded as one of the best.
Yeah,
number
one recruit at two positions. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Ooh.
Colorado committed a lot of penalties. I think Travis Hunter had a personal foul on the game tying drive by Stanford. I don't know. Like I don't think it's like, haha, I told you Colorado sucks. I don't think it's that. I think it probably is like, yeah, Colorado has some consistency issues that are probably pretty normal for where they are in the process, and like, I don't know, It's just so like, I don't, blowing a 29. It's that it's Stanford. That's what it is. If you blew a 29 lead to almost any non-Stanford Pac-12 team, I think we could wrap our heads around it. But it's like, this is not the Stanford brand in any way, shape, or form.
Maybe not. But the one thing that, I don't know, I kind of saw this as a microcosm of the concerns that I was laying out about Colorado earlier in the season. And I was worried about them in the back half of the season as bodies wore down and broke down, as they do with every team. Like, are they going to have the depth to stand up to the back of this really sturdy schedule? And they kind of ran out of steam against a very sturdy schedule over the course of a single game last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're, yeah.
Hi, I'd like to talk about another team that's entering the back half of a very sturdy schedule.
USC?
Yeah. I want to talk about USC, who I think we've come up with the capsule on 2023 USC, which is this: fundamentally unserious football team.
I think what happened was several teams accumulated like parts of a loss against USC, and they all decided to pool their resources and said, okay, we have 1.7 losses that USC should have been dealt, but none of us had a full loss to give them. So we're going to give you them to you, Notre Dame, and you will deliver the effective like 2.5 losses to USC in Notre
Dame
night.
Notre Dame, take my energy.
Like potluck force punch.
This game was it. The final score is the biggest lie of the day.
Wild.
In which direction?
That Notre Dame has a lot of points. So you look at that and you think, oh well, USC defense bad. That's what it was. You know, USC's defense is it's FBS average. It's not good, but whatever. USC's defense played really well in this game. Yeah, I see 48 points. Two of those came off returns. The others were aided by 5 turnovers. So, like, Sam Hartman threw for like 130 yards. USC's defense played by far its best game of the year, and they're going to get zero credit for it because number big.
Number big. If you want to know how absolutely lopsided this was, Notre Dame, 48 points on 13 first downs. 13. Sam Hartman.
On 49 snaps.
On 49 snaps. USC's a fundamentally unserious football team. They pull back within 2 scores. They're like, okay, we're going to make a late fourth quarter run after Caleb Williams threw 3 interceptions and took like 500 sacks. And what did they do? Boom! Return TD for Notre Dame. Like, immediately, like, hope did not live but 3 seconds before USC tripped and fell into the sea. That's
really did not have a Notre Dame pioneering clean energy on my bingo card for this year.
No, they just at every point dropped the ball, like literally and figuratively in this game. Congratulations to Notre Dame. I know this one felt really good because they were like, I didn't feel like we were kicking their ass that hard. You were. It showed up on the scoreboard eventually.
Yeah, this is...
It's bad. It's super bad. Their offensive line looked like shit. Their play calling was bizarre. Lincoln Riley did nothing to help them against an aggressive pass rush. Like, it was like, call slants. Here you go.
I guess, and I said this before we got started, it's really messing with me to say, okay, Notre Dame beat USC by 28. Notre Dame just lost to Louisville. How did Louisville do against Pitt?
Pitt, transitive win against USC.
Fucking right.
Which means so many teams Jordan have Addison transitive avenged. Wins against USC thanks to Pitt.
It's just spreading them around. Everybody gets one.
I think we all had one game today that we watched too much of.
Yeah.
Or maybe not enough of. Mine was this Pitt game. I was absolutely glued to the television because it combined.
Wait. Not to which channel, though?
The CW, baby. That's right.
Had you watched any CW football until today? Because I hadn't.
I hadn't either. I had to do the thing.
I didn't have any autofill on YouTube TV when I had to go looking for it.
You know, when you're
I was so excited to type in CW and see the logo pop up.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to watch, like, the Son of the Flash or whatever.
Flash's stepdaughter? All right, cool.
Does she run fast? Nah. No, she has totally different power.
Yeah, like, I know. Those of you who've been watching Live Golf and such family and some of the family movies available on the CW on demand, including, and I'm not making any of these up, Army Dog, Skate Dog.
What's that about?
Yes.
Wait. What's that one about?
You'll never guess.
Army Dog versus Skate Dog. Yeah. Who you got?
Alex Rider, Operation Stormbreaker.
Alex Rider, Army Dog.
And The Librarian, Quest for the Spear.
Okay.
I know. I was waiting for Holly to be like, wait a second.
No. I own one of these movies on DVD. Guess which one?
The Librarian, Quest for the Spear.
Okay. That's not fair because, Spencer, you've seen it, and Ryan, you gave it to me. You guys want to know what a good friend Ryan Nanny is? I'm going to tell you two stories. First of all, we were talking about wedding food today because fall weddings came up a fucking again. On my wedding day, Ryan Nanny had one job and one job only, and that was to keep the wedding party women supplied with Sonic Cherry Limeades. That's all great. Day, and he did a fantastic fucking job of that.
Thank you.
Because it was July, and we were outside. The second thing about Ryan is that when I collected 2 out of 3 of TNT's Noah Wiley starring The Librarian movies on DVD, and the third one was out of print, Ryan Nanny tracked down a goddamn Oscar screener of it on eBay and bought it for me. That's fucking friendship. If your friends wouldn't do that for you, get new friends.
I wanted to. I love it. I wanted.
I'm sorry. You said librarian, and you knew you had to know that would trigger
me. I know. But I also wanted to say that, like, the CW...
I mean, triggered in a Manchurian candidate sense.
This game, the CW show...
It's not as good as The Librarian Quest for the Judas Chalice. I'm sorry, did you want to talk about football?
The show that actually reminded me of this Pitt performance is Chris Angel's Magic with the Stars. Because Pitt made Louisville disappear! And by that I mean this. I don't actually know how they won this game because I watched a quarter and a half of it, and friends, it was Jack Plummer overthrowing receivers and Pitt being unable to run the ball out. That's all it was.
My only question is this. How did Pitt score 38 points?
No one knows.
I will tell you this. I said this before we got started, but this game was vintage Pitt, and when I say vintage Pitt, I mean vintage full cast.
Yeah,
sure. Not actually vintage, not actually whatever qualifies as vintage Pitt football. This was Pitt gently reaching out a caressing spiritual hand and reminding us, hey, you guys didn't come to one of our games this year. And Pitt, we're really sorry about that. We did not get to come up there yet this year. We're clearly going to have to try and fix that because something is happening. Something weird.
I was hoping it would be longer ago for this answer, but the last time Pitt scored 38 points in a game, just to twist the knife one more time, was when they beat Miami on the road at the end of last season, 42-16.
Ah, exquisite, exquisite.
This is very similar to the other game that involved because the turnover Except margin was -4.
Fewer first downs for Pitt, more first downs for Louisville. Louisville had 28 first downs, Pitt had 12, and they won by 17 points. At the end of the game, unable to gain more than 2 yards at a time on the ground, Pitt decided to run the clock out in the most un-Pitt, unconventional fashion available, which was to throw a nuke. Throw a long bomb, which they hit in order to take it to 38 and score their only TD of the fourth quarter. Louisville dominated everything except turnovers and pitness. That was it.
It. I guess hopefully this wasn't the end of the super weapon for the year. Like no shade to Louisville, but we didn't exactly.
You were not the intended target.
Minds.
No.
Yeah, we were like
Louisville is a peaceful planet. They have no weapons.
We missed Alderaan. Oops. Who hit the casino planet? You jackass.
You were just Louisville. You were just the demonstration. But like we haven't exactly built up Louisville as a prime target in our minds. So Louisville being taken down, like. I don't even know if they stormed the field I don't know. Probably. But
AJ, we're stealing this for the show title. We are all pitnesses.
All right. Now that we've talked about the game that I know all the pundits wanted to focus on and it got all the ratings. So let's talk about the undercard. Oregon, Washington.
Absolutely whipped, first of all.
It kicked ass. Oh my God. I would have watched this. When it ended, I was like, run it back. Let's watch this shit again. This is amazing.
I'm just glad Washington pulled it out so that Oregon wouldn't think those uniforms were lucky and would use them again.
USC, Notre Dame aside, I feel like it has been an unusually good year for top tier, like top level matchups. I know it has not been a very upset heavy year. Of
bangers.
Yeah. I think we have had like a really good set of highly ranked teams playing one another and most of the time getting an interesting or an exciting game out of it. And this was, I don't know if this was quite as good as Red River because Red River was so nuts right out of the gate.
Yeah.
But it was quite good all the same.
And that was, well, and even within its own category, that was, I'm sure Old Hells will scream, that was the best Red River I've ever seen.
It's certainly
my favorite. Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry. That was my favorite Red River.
Yeah. Yeah. But
this, it lacked the chaos of Red River. But just as many highlights.
Dan Lanning certainly tried to add some chaos with some fourth down moves.
The bold choices. Yeah. So he basically did the same thing at the end of each half, in case anyone missed it. At the end of the first half, Oregon had a chance to possibly punch in a touchdown or to just take the field goal. And he chose to go for it on a fourth down at the end of the first half. Didn't get it, which those 3 points, it turns out, would have been quite valuable. Mm-hmm. That choice was probably not the right one. Like the benefit of going forward on fourth down, like on the goal line, is if you don't get it, then the other team is stuck with really bad field position. At the end of the first half is the one time all game when that doesn't matter at all. And then the decision with about 2 minutes to go in the game, Oregon had the ball at midfield. The other quarterback had thrown for about 75,000 yards that game. So Dan Lanning decided, let's just go for it and keep Michael Penix off the field. They didn't get it. And immediately everyone decided, oh, it didn't work, and therefore it was a bad idea. Washington scored within like 1 second.
It was two plays, right?
which I thought proved the decision correct. You can't, you clearly can't stop them anyway. And look at all this time you've saved for your own offense by going ahead and aiding their score. I thought those two big decisions, one for two at absolute worst, I thought.
I tend to agree. I think the second one, mostly it's this, like the way I think of it, if I'm going to piss and moan about coaches who play conservatively and don't go for the throw and don't try to put their team in a position to like win decisively and tuck their tail, then like I have to applaud the decisions even when they don't work. Like the first half, I could go either way on. But like, yeah, I think it's awesome that Dan Lanning went for that fourth down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think there was also this element of everyone had so much fun talking about Crystal Ball last week. And they wanted to pile on a coach again this week. Yeah. But no, that was literally the worst idea you could possibly have at the end of a game. This was completely valid choice.
Yeah, it does not help that at the I think on the last possession of this game last year, or Oregon's last possession of this game last year, Dan Lanning went for it on fourth and one from like his own 35 while the game was tied, and that put Washington in position to kick what ended up being the game-winning field goal. But like, yeah, I think you just sort of, I appreciate that it gave us, I appreciate that he was like, he stuck to his guns, I guess is what I'll say.
I appreciate Dan Lanning blurring the lines between analytics, which say that you should do these things not only more often, but all the time, and between jocks. Because the way that they carry it off makes it like, someone called me a bitch, so I'm not going to do that.
Oh, it's a lot like how the Eagles go for a lot of fourth downs by trying to just like punch you in the solar plexus.
Exactly. It's like, hey, let's do the nerdy thing in the most ferocious way possible.
It's like vibes based analytics, yes.
Right?
It's like Like, if you told Dan Lanning the number said this was smart, he'd say, huh? How dare you? How dare you call me smart, right?
Hey, Poindexter. Poindexter, we going?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going.
Let me tell you what. Dan Lanning is going to fucking rule when he gets the Texas A&M job.
I'll tell you what type of analytics this is. Some of y'all will know, and some of you will need to look it up. Dan Lanning has mastered Steiner math, okay? That is the type of math that calls for going on fourth down in that
situation. See, when I was going for the field goal at the end, I had a 66% chance of making it. But my team's full of natural born freaks.
Oregon had a 163 1/3% chance of converting that fourth down. And somehow they didn't.
I love it. They're like, who dares wins? Well, actually, some math does back this up. But I'm not a bitch!
I don't know about all that. I don't know if Matt Berry was talking about this game specifically. He was going on some little mini rant in the studio about analytics, and he's like, I bet analytics lose more than they win. And I think it was I think it was Joey Galloway who sort of looked at him and half joking, half serious, was like, well, you'd have to check the numbers on
that. I love it.
It's unfair to expect a Madame Alexander doll brought to life to do math. We're asking like too much of Matt Berry.
If analytics lost most of the time, why would people have given a shit about them to this point?
Listen, did the animator who brought Matt Berry to life from his doll cabinet do so without math?
Ooh, if only these football nerds weren't so sexy, I wouldn't have to listen to them, but they are. Oh, they got that ass that won't quit, and that's why I went for it on fourth down.
This is like the person who finally understands, hey, if I'm really good at chemistry, my roids are going to be awesome. Like, if I get my cycle straight, bro, it'd be huge.
You know why we do analytics? Is because the guys with calculators are so badass, and we want to be cool like them. That's why.
That's right. I didn't respect math until I saw
their numbers are totally fake. They don't work. They don't know what they're talking about.
Have you seen?
I really just go to Sloan for the pussy.
Have you seen Ben Affleck and The Accountant? That's what really turned me on analytics. Let me tell you what.
Don't laugh. Dan Lanning has totally got that on DVD. Wears that shit out.
It was just fun fucking game.
Oh, so good. Lead changes, going for two, going for it on fourth.
My Washington favorite... showing that they could run. Like, I did not know Washington had this effective of a run game. It wasn't like super explosive necessarily, but yards. Like they mixed it in effectively not make it all just be on Michael Penix.
They did, and this is like a great styles make fights kind of thing because. Mm-hmm. Oregon really did the thing they wanted to do, which was take their sort of extended triple option, you know, long handoffs, you know, passes as long handoffs kind of run game and slow this shit down. And they did for long periods of this game do that. And then Washington sometimes had to do what they were uncomfortable with, which was reel off these like 12 and 15 play drives. And then sometimes they got to do the, you know, Fraggle offense where they were like, la, 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 70 yards.
It's different.
Yeah, we're better at this than you are. That was the last score. The score where Washington came back, they'd had this kind of like constipated, slow couple of drives before that. And on the final drive, it was like, nah, look, that guy's open.
Oh, when Oregon got on the Washington drive, excuse me, when Oregon stood them up at the goal line, I was like, that has to be it.
That's it.
That has to be it. But it wasn't.
No. Because you know what you can't defend? That's right. The perfect pass.
I had this like bittersweet feeling this whole game, just thinking like, man, the Big Ten does not deserve this. Like looking over at what the actual Big Ten was doing at the time.
Wait.
Which we'll discuss. But like, just like, I mean, first of all, those people aren't ready for this. And secondly, like, no, they don't like fun. That's their brand for the past 100 years has been not having any fun. No one besides them having, you know, enjoying anything. Players not getting any money. And they get to just import this shit. Fuck that.
There is one school that does deserve it. And that school is Rutgers, who came down, who came
That's
back.
That's right.
Who came back down 18 with 14 minutes to go by scoring on. It wasn't a blocked punt. It was just the punter forgot to grab the ball. and they scored it, and Rutgers grabbed it and scored a touchdown. They scored then later on they went for, I don't even know how to describe this. Maybe y'all have seen this before. It wasn't an onside kick. They set up Michigan State was set up as though it were an onside kick, but they left a returner back as well. And like they kind of chipped it in between the two units, and then a Rutgers player basically boxed out the returner for an onside. They recovered an onside kick at the Michigan State 21, which I've never fucking seen in my life.
All the way back there. Like it dribbled.
Yes, yes. And it was based off of that they scored the go-ahead touchdown. The most wild shit about this game. So after the fumbled snap touchdown that started the comeback for Rutgers, who scored 21 points unanswered in the fourth quarter to beat Michigan State, the Spartans ran 6 plays on offense the rest of the fourth quarter, and they got 2 yards.
Yeah, that's an offer for the Big Ten to this point, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. 5-5 win Rutgers, baby.
5-2.
Yeah. Which is that actually fits in the, you could make the G the 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a better, a better record than Texas A&M.
Hey, who else has a better record than Texas A&M?
Tennessee?
Where to begin?
Florida? Mizzou?
I was going to say Florida.
Tulane does.
Yeah.
But Tulane's better than Texas A&M, so that's not fair. Duke does.
Oh, let's see. I'm just going to control F, 5, and 24 FBS teams currently have more wins than A&M.
Don't forget 6 and. We've had buys.
Oh, that's right. Let's see. I'm sorry. 45 FBS teams currently. I might be getting some conference records in there, but let's say 45.
It's a lot. Jacksonville State, the team that's brand new to FBS, they're 5-2. That's not what Texas A&M is.
When Rich Rod takes over at Texas A&M, this will be of great comfort, I'm sure.
Don't.
This is the great thing about the whoever takes over at Texas A&M, and it doesn't always work, but because they will spend literally amount of money, this is one of those things where you can slot literally any coach you can think of into the next head coaching job at Texas A&M, and it's funny every time in a different way.
There are also 2 7-0 teams, so 47 FBS
teams. Seriously, find a coach who's the next candidate for Texas A&M who's not funny.
Jason, you're saying there's an NFL and a half worth of teams that are better than Texas A&M.
Well, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nearly as many as the number of hours in 48 hours.
You all have said Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, and Mario Cristobal. These are all hilarious. I said list teams who are list coaches who would not be funny in this role.
The bottom of the SEC West, which is where Texas A&M is at the top of the bottom of the SEC West.
Oh.
It's a shit show right now. In conference, 0-4 Arkansas, 0-3 Mississippi State, 0-3 Auburn, 2-2 Texas A&M. The two wins that Texas A&M has in conference play are Auburn is one, and the other one is Arkansas.
That's grim.
And those teams, A&M, I'm sorry, those teams stink this year. They just do.
Bama tried so hard.
Yes.
Cough it up to Arkansas, yes, today that I feel I'm forced to conclude
Tennessee tried very hard to cough it up to A&M today.
I'm ready to talk about Tennessee and A&M had a game long fight over who was going to cough that game up to each other, yeah, with a third possible participation by their refs who missed several egregious. I'm actually not sure who, every team will say it's theirs. I'm not sure who got the worst end of the refereeing tonight, because there were I'm talking multiple missed face mask calls that were visible on the normal broadcast angle. But Tennessee, it was hot potato. I didn't see enough of Bama Arkansas to determine if Arkansas was also determined to give the game away, or if they were just being out-talented by a Bama team determined to give the game away. But Tennessee and A&M were just playing that version of a game where it's like, oh, whoever has the ball last is going to win. This is like, no, whoever fucks up second to last is going to win.
Jalen Milroe had a great first half, then he had a bad second half. That's what really let Arkansas kind of creep back in this game, along with some timely play by KJ Jefferson. Although for anybody who's a Dan Enos hater, And
that's quite a few people around the country.
And the line, listen, the line forms behind Chris Driver.
We have a friend, Chris Driver, who
y'all are gonna believe this if you don't know him. Chris Driver played football at Central Michigan.
Yeah,
and was subjected to Dan Enos as a head coach. But he grew up an Arkansas fan. I don't know how many Central Michigan, Arkansas house divided houses there are out there. But so he's now on his third round of Dan Enos. So
please imagine his offseason when they said,
pray for this man.
When they said, oh, we're going to fire Kendall Briles. And like, oh, yeah, get rid of Kendall Briles. Get him the fuck out of here. That's great. Yeah, get him out of here. And there's like, who's the replacement? It was like, Dan Enos. But for
poor Chris, I swear to God, I don't know anybody else this has happened to where like their personal coach bugaboo has like dogged them through three different tenures.
So the whole, to conclude the Dan Enos point, having seen what they've done to KJ Jefferson and his game in that offense, it's not like he's bad, but you've taken the joy out of our large rambling son. That is what you have done in Dan Enos's offense. And also to the tune of going 0-4 in conference to this point. That's where you're at. So it's not really like Alabama, like it's not like at any point there was a real serious threat here. Nah, Jalen Milroe was just missing left and right. They ran out the clock. Nick is so happy about this, by the way, because one, he doesn't really care about the margin of victory, and two, coaching points because they got a false start on the victory formation. He was livid, like hands making all sorts of like chopping invisible wood with karate chops as he talked. Like, yeah, it was great. He's so happy right now.
I a brief break from this discussion of the one of the better conferences in Division I to discuss the best conference in Division I. Our Idaho Vandals, number 3 in FCS, trail our Montana Grizzlies 20-7 at the half in the Kibbe Dome.
Wow. Also, apparently there's a fight at Boise.
That sounds right.
We'll update.
Notre Dame, the broadcast for this game, we discussed the box score a little bit. The Jason Garrett, Jack Collinsworth broadcast duo. Someone pointed out on Twitter a few hours ago that if we had been tasked, say, 2 or 3 or 4 years ago with coming up with the most boring possible broadcast booth, that is one that we might have submitted as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more boring than I would have even expected, like to the point where I think there's almost a public utility to it. Like it gives me a sense of whatever it is that people get out of ASMR. Like that shit has never done anything for me, but this, I think I get it.
You could do one of those Volvo ads where you like put a baby in a carrier and carry it into the stadium and just put it outside the booth door. And, you know, the baby's been crying the whole time and the dad's like, what do I do? And at the end of the commercial, he just tucks a little Notre Dame blanket around the baby and Jack Collinsworth's like, and there's a line drive king.
Yeah. And then Jason Garrett comes in and goes, that's a real nice Grover you got up there on the shelf. I had one like that myself.
There is a moment where Notre Dame, which again is the not only the home team in the stadium, but also like this is their Pravda. Like NBC is supposed to be jacked up for Notre Dame, like all the juices for Notre Dame. They had a scoop and score a touchdown. And the reaction from the booth was just like as anti-Gus Johnson as you could imagine.
Well, they did score 48 points, so they might have been pretty tired at that point.
Yeah, they were so exhausted from all the screaming earlier in the game.
But
yeah.
Who could they have found who was more qualified than Jack Collinsworth to get in that booth?
I mean, that is a good point. He did earn the job.
It's an important part of the Trinity, the Son.
Right. Spencer Hall back in his anti-Catholic game.
God damn it.
As always.
So is Jason Garrett
the Holy Ghost?
A spirit the in this?
The Holy Ghost is Tom Hammond.
He's very white.
Jason Garrett is the Holy Ghost in here because he could not be farther from the Jason Garrett voice that we have done on this show.
No.
In real life.
The Holy Ghost is Regis Philbin.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's
the Holy Ghost is Lou Holtz, and I'm glad he's
it's dead. Really bad. By the way, most outstanding broadcaster of the weekend was, of course, Mark Jones. Getting deep into the thesaurus, like in the first quarter of the Colorado Stanford game.
Yes,
and only getting more and more like just ludicrous as the game went on. An incredible work.
That had to be like a challenge he's issued to himself, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't listen to any of the like podcasts about media or newsletters about media. But somebody,
you don't.
Somebody,
Marcus, you don't work anymore. We don't have to.
Somebody ask him, like, what is your prep strategy like, purely from a vocabulary point of view? Is this off the dome? Is this like, is there a list somewhere? I just want to know more. That's all.
Do you just have one of those word a day calendar, and you're just ripping through that just throwing papers left and right?
2 months in this game. Look out.
Because broadcasts are definitely, there's definitely a meta quality to them where there's a lot of winking.
Yeah.
It's the reason the Manning cast works so well.
How did Indiana's new offensive coordinator do today, guys?
They died.
Oh man.
They died.
It was really great for several minutes. They had not only an early touchdown that brought them even,
gave them the lead before then as well. Yeah.
Like there is a scenario if you change one or two plays where Indiana had like a 14 point outburst in the first quarter.
Yeah. So for the first quarter it was 7-0 Indiana, and for the rest of the game it was 52-0. That's not a joke. That's what happened.
That's been Michigan every week this year. They're like a big guy running down a hill. By the time he gets to the bottom, oh God, get out of his way.
I think Minnesota has scored the most on Michigan this year, and it's 10 points.
Yeah. Now,
and I know Michigan's schedule is what it is. So fucking like these are aggressive numbers.
But they could be sleepwalking against these teams, like some people, Georgia.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like you are how you perform against who you play.
Yeah.
Like it, you know, we've seen legit champions win title games after playing quote unquote light schedules, like blowing, you know, completely obliterating mediocre teams is just as impressive as like barely beating good teams.
I mean, they might be playing trash, but that shit is getting taken out.
Speaking of obliterations, can we flip leagues for a second? Okay. Why is North Dakota State University trending?
Because
that can't be
they
good.
Lost,
does anyone
they
know?
Lost to North Dakota, I believe.
What?
Correctamundo.
Yeah, I think this is their second loss of the regular season now.
Yeah.
The balance of power in FCS is very different this year.
It has shifted south. Yes. To South Dakota State. Yeah. The reigning champ and possibly on its way to becoming a sort of a Georgia to NDSU's Bama.
Unless Idaho has something to say about it.
Well, but Montana has something to say about Idaho right now, because the Big Sky Conference, the deepest conference in all of Division I.
And our personal favorite. But y'all, this wasn't even a game. The Fighting Hawks of North Dakota scored 21 points in the first quarter and beat them 49-24.
Staying in this general area, Air Force is 6-0.
Yeah. Your current group of five, hate that term, New Year's six favorite. Yeah. Air Force.
We're all friends here. We can say mid-majors. It's not a diss.
It's not. That's the part that drives me crazy.
Why is it fine in basketball?
Think you're so good?
Depends.
Football?
Yeah.
You're in the middle. It's okay to be in the middle. Like saying mid-major is better than saying bottom half of FBS.
Yeah, complete next division.
Yeah, group of five does have some real like, oh, this is unlicensed Avengers gear you got at the dollar store.
It is we demand to be taken seriously League of Wizards.
It's a little Maoist for me, right? Like group of five. Traitors, all of them.
Where's my off-ramp? Speaking of Mao, I want to point out one We need to talk about Purdue, Ohio State, for 1 second, because we need to discuss the special teams. Because Purdue had a student make a 40-yard field goal during a timeout, and then the Boilermakers' real kicker missed a 39-yarder. Thank you, Marcus Hartman, for pointing this out.
Suit him up.
But seriously, I think, was it Floyd who said earlier? Leach would have had that kid in pads. Yeah. The next series and kicking on the sideline.
Five also sounds like these five Congress people promise they're going to get shit. Oh wait, they all hate each other.
Yeah,
immediately yeah. They hate each other.
It's also like rap group from 1992.
Yeah, sure.
You're supposed to just say, oh yeah, they had like three classic right. albums. I didn't like them, but
you know what it is? It's this is the same group that like spent time and branding effort to be like, aha, it's called College Football Playoff. Aha, it's called bowl season. Like, in many ways, Group of Five just fits like the incredibly uncreative brain behind a lot of college football branding decisions at the top.
Hey, we're going to start the first ever collective in college football. We got 10 universities. What should we call it?
George Schroeder of USA Today really summed this up beautifully right around the time all this shit was getting started when he said, I bet Bill Hancock's dog is named Dog. And he's got a bowl with its name on it and everything.
There was one loss, by the way, for Air Force tonight, and it's that their time of possession went down because they only held the ball for 29 minutes. It's my.
I thought you were going to say they lost another F-35. That would be a win, however.
Have you lost another aeroplane?
Do you lose an F-35? Nope, found one in the swamp.
Man, between six wins on the field and one F-35 they don't have to worry about anymore. It's been a nice autumn.
Fucking great.
Yeah. So they're down to a little over 35 minutes a game of just squatting on the ball, not letting you have it. You know who's number one? Just in my favorite unimportant stat.
Penn State. Time of possession?
Penn State.
Huh. Yeah, okay.
Penn State.
That feels like it's mostly a factor of Penn State's defense has been playing wildly overmatched teams and getting them off the field before they can.
I think it's also just James Franklin pouting,
sitting on the ball and waiting for it to hatch.
Speaking of James Franklin, I had a thought while watching Miami. I think so. Our joke about James Franklin for a long time has been incredible recruiter who just did not invest a lot of points in skill points in game management. Right, like that's been our go to with James Franklin. For obvious reasons, there is a strong contender for that title, and I think this game clinched it. Mario Cristobal has taken that mantle. This game was just a mess. There was a point early in the second half when Miami got the miscues montage. You never want the miscues montage, but there was enough for it. Like, I don't know, it might have been like 10 minutes left.
It's a double album, baby!
Yeah, well, like when the controversy section on your wiki page is like the second section, like that's pretty bad. After the miscues montage, Miami was out here like coming out of a timeout with 12 guys on the field and giving up a touchdown on that play. Come on, man. Like this is everything we have said James Franklin is, Miami actually is. So I move that we slide that joke to Miami. And now that I've said this, just wait for Penn State, Ohio State next week.
Brain genius. Penn State, by the way, 63-0 over UMass today. Just, you know, light little swing through the schedule there for the Nittany Lions.
Miami's got to play Miami's playing Clemson next. That'll be normal. Great. Oh,
if we get a three-game skid for Mario.
Oh, man. Watch. It'll be good for recruiting, though, because there'll be clearly lots of playing time available. Look,
we need your help.
New joke fits great.
He's something like, I think he's now 3-8 in ACC games.
He is, and he is.
Those are really hard, though.
Still hasn't won a game at home, and he is 0-2 in the ACC this year.
Well, he couldn't win a game at home because they're on the road, so.
Yes, but just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like as we all predicted, there are only two reliable teams in the ACC, Florida State and Duke. That's it.
That's correct.
The standards.
Just that we all drew up.
Like, is there a possibility that we're going to get a little too early in the season and just be like, yep, the ACC championship is locked up and it's those two teams?
which we've seen before.
Well, I forgot North Carolina. I apologize, North Carolina. You're in there as well. But
man, let me give you.
Also, we haven't talked about this part. Florida State, North Carolina, and Duke are all undefeated in ACC play, and they don't play each other.
Yeah, and Louisville doesn't play. I know. I realize Louisville is not exactly as prominent in the running, but Louisville also plays, you know, very few of the other ACC contenders.
Duke is the only one of those three that they play, and that's in 2 weeks.
The dark math of an ACC schedule baffles me.
Do you guys remember who Duke played in the ACC championship game the last time they were in the ACC?
Was it Florida State?
It was.
Yeah. That was wasn't that the James year?
That was the year. Yeah, that was the year they played Auburn.
Okay.
No, that was the year FSU beat Auburn in the title game.
So everyone in the ACC plays 11 conference games, but they do not play each other.
Somehow, no one plays anyone.
You know what's going to help this?
And they all play Notre Dame.
What's going to help this is adding three more ACC teams.
That's good. I just can't wait to see. Somehow they all only play SMU.
This is the worst LSAT question. The worst. Like,
is the ACC real?
There are 16 knights at the table. One may not sit next to the other.
I'm gonna start watching some fucking CW to see what the hell it is they have going on there. If no football games are happening, but all these stats keep getting right.
Yeah. I just appreciate that the ACC was like, "All right, the Coastal is a mess. It's impossible to tell who wins it every year. We're getting rid of divisions.
Everything will make sense now.
Yeah. Now it's gonna be like
no one plays each other anymore.
All right, we're going to the 8th tiebreaker to decide if it's North Carolina or Duke." Going to the
no wonder you have game. So many good teams. Apparently, all of you are playing Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech won today. Wake Forest is the one that sucks.
I'm so sorry.
They scored like 30 points. They beat the shit out of Wake.
3-4.
Virginia Tech is one game behind the lead for the conference.
Yeah.
It's not so much like that. That division is not so much a lobster pot as it's like quicksand and just like one Virginia Tech arm reaching up out of the mire
to grab Wake's leg. Get in here with me. I love this for the ACC though, because it's like, I'm tired of you making fun of us. We're going to get rid of divisions so you can stop making fun of everyone being 4-4. And now it's going to be like, okay, raise the astrolabe to the horizon. Should it be 3 degrees higher than parallel, Duke shall go.
Indiana Jones, you must take away 3 units to honor Duke's forefathers.
This actually... Okay, the CW thing is making something else make sense, because I was wondering where the ACC alternate networks were going to offload all their unused ads. Did you guys see the Crystal Fungus ad that ran during Arkansas-Bama?
No.
it was some Copper Jam. Listen, the Arkansas-Bama game had some like Copper Jamma's peak ACC network late night ads running, but one of them, I just wrote the notes down, it's just called Crystal Flush, and the tagline was "Flush your fungus." I refuse to learn anything else about this.
I don't think I have any fungus.
But it was running over a bit. Well, it's clearly already flushed.
Listen, the ad that have been in my brain, my 2023 season ad that I cannot get out of my mind is Phil Swift tearing ass in that boat made of Flex Tape. That's oh my god! Like every other break, Phil Swift is looking happy.
He's going to get the Arkansas job. You watch.
He might. They might be like something like Jerry is just going to be sitting there knocking back his fifth Johnny Walker Blue of the night. And he's going to see Phil Swift to go, hey, he looks cool on that boat.
Mike McCarthy, can you make a boat out of tape?
Yeah. Can you kick ass on a boat like that? I bet you can't even get in a boat, fat boy. Fire him. Go get me Phil Swift.
So speaking of ads, a few commenters have mentioned it. Did anyone see the fucking freespeechfire.com or whatever ad on NBC?
No.
I think I've seen a billboard for it here, but that's not.
Okay. Yeah. It's like an ad for free speech, sure. I think. Sure. I don't know. And it's like the setup is these announcers are interviewing a player after a game, and he's saying things that they find controversial or whatever. Like he keeps talking about Jesus and flat earth and vaccinations, and it's just sort of like name checking a bunch of controversial shit, and like then it's like free speech is cool, go to our website, and that's it. They someone paid a lot of money to air that.
The Koch brothers paid a lot of money. Okay,
it needs to be tactical free speech if you want people to pay attention. I need my free speech.
But it just aired, and I saw everyone who was watching that game was just very confused by the existence of it.
This was during Notre Dame USC. That's good because Notre Dame fans usually are withholding their opinions at all times. So I'm glad they feel free to let us know how they feel. Finally,
I mean their crowd is pretty quiet, so maybe this will get them
finally unmuzzled
bit.
Notre Dame and USC fans. At last, political dialogue can reach new heights.
Can I give you, by the way, the all American, real American football quarterback line of the week? It's from Duke's second string quarterback, Henry Balin IV. He went 4 for 12 for 107 yards, 2 TDs, and 1 interception. He ran 5 times for 28 yards. That with a long of 26, and they won by 21 points. Henry Balin IV, congratulations. You're the Jay Barker overachiever of the week.
Fuck him up.
4-12, 107. That's red-blooded American football. That's real football right there.
All right. Can we talk about this Iowa game?
Yeah, it's about time.
I guess.
The final score, 15-6. Iowa Iowa threw 14 passes for 37 yards. Iowa had how many first downs was it? Nine. Iowa went 4 of 17 on third down. But Wisconsin, you went 2 of 17. Wisconsin threw 50 passes. And for their troubles, got 6 points.
Thank you, user Caboose MSG. A.L. Manor had more receiving yards in the second half of Colorado Stanford than Iowa wide receivers combined have had in 7 games.
Wisconsin, you know what Wisconsin was on, by the way, offensively, Ryan? That is the COVID year day trading policy, right? Like, God. Bang, bang, trade. God. Do a lot of things. How much money did you make today?
$6. I lost $7.
How many trades did you execute today?
1,000! Iowa is leading the Big Ten West right now.
Yeah.
with a negative point differential.
Yeah.
In conference, not overall. They're
6-1. They should absolutely be ranked. Yep. They have scored just very quick, 146 points on the year. They're averaging 20 points a game, I think.
Yes.
That's just from typing these scores into the Chrome browser bar that doing math for me. I think they would have to average 30 points a game from here on out to hit the 325. I'm sure someone has already calculated this, but.
Can we all agree that Iowa should be ranked and simultaneously that it's really funny that they're not?
I get why they're not, yeah,
They should do it. And by the way, let's actually say a positive word about an offensive player for Iowa, LaShawn Williams. 25 carries, 174 yards, and a score.
He has the hardest job in the world.
Yeah.
Because no defense goes in there saying, like, well, we really got to respect the Iowa pass.
There needs to be some kind of Sisyphus trophy among all the other end of the season hardware we canned out, most of which are interchangeable. This man needs an award.
He does. Think of the number of kindergartners that you would have to think of for, like, how many kindergartners would it take to tackle you, right? Okay, cool. LaShawn Williams faces that every single time he touches the ball, right? If you're like 38 kindergartners, that's what it would take to tackle me. He faces that every time he takes the ball because it's not going to be a pass. Iowa's leading receiver had 19 yards on 2 receptions.
According to commenter Deliberately Vague, Iowa needs 29.8 points per game, counting the bowl game. So, yes, my math was
close.
Here's
who they have left. Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, Nebraska. Whatever you think of those teams.
Oh, God.
There is nothing in here that says, this is going to be the team that forces Iowa into a gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think no matter how dire it's looking for Brian Ferentz entering that whichever Florida Bowl they go to, LSU's defense has got this.
I don't know. I don't know. That's my serious answer.
They did.
Auburn had a bad day. I understand. That doesn't change anything about my prediction that that LSU's defense is going to bail out Brian Ferentz.
Man, yeah, that's territory that science even flinches at examining. That's what we're talking about here. That's bad. Can I have a moment to state some happiness?
Better be about Missouri.
It isn't.
Beautiful alley-oop.
Florida won a road game. That's all.
I want to hear about. Let's talk about Missouri instead.
Florida won a damn road game against South Carolina.
Okay, okay, Jason, is it a little funny that Graham Mertz threw for like 480 yards?
It's funny.
While Wisconsin was putting up 6 points.
Yeah, that probably feels really bad for them, I would imagine. Hey, we're going to go air raid. Meanwhile, our quarterback is, he left.
Our quarterback's at the state fair in Columbia, South Carolina, like, whooping and wallering, eating Bertz, all the funnel cakes.
Graham Mertz was a fucking assassin. Wisconsin scored 6 points.
No, but he was. This is, you're not joking.
Both quarterbacks in this game had great games. Both of them did. They really did.
Yeah, these defenses are oof.
Ass.
Yeah.
Pure ass. But yeah.
Y'all get to rejoice in beating South Carolina.
Hey. Take a holiday when it's offered. That's okay. Right. What is, yeah, like sure, it's a bank holiday, but we're taking it.
That's great. Now, man. Florida's 5-2. Gonna make a bowl.
Yeah,
game.
Hell yeah.
Bless your hearts. Tampa's lovely this time of year. No, and you can sleep in your own beds.
I see nothing but advantages.
Maybe you get to play Iowa. Maybe. Who knows?
Graham Mertz. I imagine Graham Mertz would be so disappointed. He's like, hey, who are we facing? Iowa? Fuck.
Of all the things Jason has spoken into existence that I will hate, Iowa winning a bowl game against Florida 10-4 is probably the worst.
In the Trop. Yeah. Did they still play in the Trop?
No. Maybe in the parking lot of the Trop.
Can they reopen the Trop just for this?
Break into the Trop.
Maybe they'll keep the Trop open when they build the new Rays Stadium, and they'll keep the Trop just for the bowl game.
Just for ornamental purposes, yeah. Missouri killed Kentucky, that's all.
Yeah.
There was a lot of weird shit. Arizona beat the fuck out of Washington State. Arizona's apparently quite decent.
Iowa State easily beat Cincinnati. Like, I don't know.
Cruised.
Are we at the point where, I don't know well enough to say, are we at the point where Cincinnati's like, oh God, what did we do? Why did we hire?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. You gotta be.
Because they are not terribly competitive at this point.
Yes, but you know what's going to happen. We have now entered the Satterfield cycle. Where now that they are 2-4, 0-3, and we're going to get the story that Scott Satterfield's like, the chili sucks here and it smells weird all the time.
I hear Michigan State has interest.
But, hold on. Cincinnati, one of their two wins is over Pitt, and Pitt just beat Louisville. And Louisville beat Notre Dame.
Cincinnati beat USC.
So Cincinnati's got a transitive win over USC.
So you're ready. You're ready for this, by the way. Everyone's going to start hating Scott Satterfield. He's going to start leaking stories about his own dissatisfaction and Michigan State being interested. And then they're going to go.
I hear the New York Giants want Scott Satterfield.
That's right. And then they're going to go on a 4-game win streak. That's how this ends,
and
right?
Somehow Kirk Cousins somehow becomes the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats.
No, not before this repeats for another two seasons at least.
That's true.
Including Scott Satterfield taking bathroom breaks during his own radio show to call in and being like, there's NFL interest in Scott Satterfield.
We can hear
hello,
you.
Hello. Hello.
I'm the housewife.
I'm the president.
Hello, I'm Dave Chargers.
Chargers.
I'm Dave Chargers, and I'd like to hire Scott Satterfield. Is this his
I'm
number?
A citizen. I demand my rights.
Yeah.
Hello, Carl Panthers here.
Carl Panthers, curiously enough, owns the Saints.
Carl Panthers
is a name I would completely believe for some reason.
Can you imagine if you were a guy and you're on the make in like international finance or something, and you got a hedge fund and you make like $30 billion and you go, hey man, what are you going to do with your money? And you look at your driver's license and remember that your name is Carl Texans. You're like, shit. Shit! I have to buy them! God damn it! Can I buy another team? No.
No.
Carl, you
can't buy the Texans. Speaking of, TCU beat BYU 44-11?
Oh, God. I missed that entirely.
This was, if you did not see, Chandler Morris has been a point of discussion amongst TCU fans in terms of his performance as a quarterback.
He can't ever come back now, because did you see the video they put up after?
Uh-huh, Josh Hoover.
The backup quarterback got the good hyper, like the good, like vintage cat lap shit hyper reel video. They can't put Chandler Morris back in now.
Yeah, they're like, the video has like vacuums dancing on the Hoover Dam. He had 4 TDs and 439 yards. I know he was cool because he also threw 2 picks, just to keep it real. I like quarterbacks to do that. Josh Hoover was really brilliant in this game. And man, no one on BYU's offense was. They got whooped. If you want to talk about somebody experiencing that Cincinnati moment of regret, that'll come and go for BYU, but it definitely arrived in serious form today.
The Big 12 is going to be like a playoff team, a New Year's Six team, and then 10 500
bunch
teams.
Of bleeding guys. Bunch of guys bleeding.
Like Oklahoma State, we'd abandoned them, and they're 4-2 now. Took down a ranked Kansas today. Just all over the Big 12. Like, don't go in there, man. Anyone can beat anyone.
It's a bar fight. The only way to win is to leave.
Yeah, just get out of there. Good idea, Oklahoma and Texas.
Have fun, Arizona State.
I wanted to mention one thing.
Well, I know we covered this already, yeah. But did we mention that Missouri beating Kentucky included Kentucky blowing a 14-0 lead that they had built after a quarter?
We did not, no, because it was erased so terribly quickly.
This box score is so, if you just look at the scoring by quarter, it's so weird. First quarter, Kentucky 14-0. Second quarter, Missouri 17-0. Third quarter, Kentucky 7, Missouri 3. Fourth quarter, Missouri 18-0. What the fuck? This looks like a tennis match.
Devin Leary melted down in the back half of that game.
Oh, okay.
Pretty aggressively.
Somebody in the chat, by the way, has changed their name to Dave Chargers. Thank you guys.
And Carl Pace.
Oh, he's here. I heard he has interest. Hello, in sir. Me taking the job coaching the Chargers.
Well, we all do.
That's the rumor I heard.
That's right.
Shouts out to DJ Uyunglele, who had a great
real game. Good night.
Yeah, a couple of beautiful passes in Oregon State's defeat of a stout UCLA team, 36-24. DJ had a nice game.
That's a lot of points against that defense. A lot.
That's a mean ass defense.
And this may have gotten lost in our decrying of the term Group of Five, but the James Madison Dukes are 6-0 and did beat our beloved Georgia Southern Eagles, dropping them to 4-2.
Whooped up
on them. And this was a thrashing.
Yeah.
41-13.
So we're looking at a second straight year in which JMU should absolutely get to do all sorts of postseason
and
stuff.
Can't.
But the NCAA has rules.
I think we're going to start. We are going to tell our grandchildren that the first years you were in a conference and the first years you level up, you cannot go out and win the conference title because it would hurt everyone else's feelings who has been there for so long.
I know this is stretching things a bit, but like, is this the most confusing NCAA rule? Because the way I understand it,
that's quite a list.
I know, but the way I understand it is the logic is we don't want teams over ambitiously trying to jump up a division, and so to dissuade them from maybe letting their reach exceed their grasp, we're going to prevent them from playing in a bowl. I don't understand like how this is supposed to stop. What is this supposed to do?
It's nanny state guardrail.
Like it's so. Yeah, I mean we all agree it's dumb, but like the thinking is so that nobody just swings for a cash grab, as if they're.
Oh, thank God!
Enormous benefit to be gained.
I was worried that might start happening in college football, but now that JMU can't make a bowl game, All is reserved. Yeah, all now is that safe.
JMU can't play in the fucking Frisco Bowl.
Oh boy.
The sanctity of so if I'm Sam Houston State, I use this as my we knew we couldn't make a bowl anyway, so we just decided.
You know, it took them forever. How many working groups do you think it took in the JW Marriott to come up with that rule too?
I don't know. Probably could use a couple more. Should build those.
I bet the catering was exquisite.
Is Thursday too late to go back to?
No.
I think there's
one thing we should discuss.
I think an event happened that still lingers.
We should probably discuss that.
Who wants to try to explain West Virginia Houston?
I'm out. Not it.
Okay.
I'm not even sure how I'm supposed to feel.
Can we?
My dads are fighting, and I don't like it.
Okay, so West Virginia Houston. Let's get to the end.
That seems like a good place to go.
Get to an end. Okay.
End is the good place, yeah.
With Houston leading 35-32 with about a minute 17 left, West Virginia is on their own 12. It's bad. But then we get the following. We get Garrett Green, 3 straight incompletions, leaving a 3rd and 10 at the 50 after some progress. And then on 4th and 10 at the 50, Garrett Green completes a pass to Hudson Clement for a touchdown. 50 yards. 50 yards. So
this was revenge for all that. This was a night, a real night of not revenge. Not what's the R word I'm looking for? Not reclamation.
Rhubarb.
No.
I don't know.
I'm having a stroke. This was a night for all those who only left a lot of time. Yeah, not retribution.
Residue.
Thank you. Redemption. It's redemption.
Oh.
This was a night of redemption for all those
who only left a lot of time. Mountain on cold the clock. Refreshment is right. Yes.
They left a lot of time on the clock for Houston. Glad yeah, you fuck said those. It. They sure did.
39.
So you're saying for once the scored too fast people were right?
39.
Yeah, that's even more reason to hate this game.
West Virginia 39, Houston 35 with 12 seconds on the clock. 12 seconds becomes 7 seconds after there is a kickoff. And 1st and 10 at the Houston 43 with 7 seconds left. Donovan Smith completes a pass for 8 yards. Boom! With 2nd and 2. On the West Virginia 49.
The distance matters.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does.
On the West Virginia 49, Donovan Smith completes a pass to Stephon Johnson for 49 yards and a touchdown. Houston 41.
I think Fred is correct. The R word I was looking for is rumchata.
West Virginia 39.
Sometimes they happen like that. Ugh.
I have a text from a former member of Dana's staff here. This is very Houston specific, but for those of you in town, you will appreciate that steak 48 is about to be steak 420.
Houston, badly in need of a win, manages to pull it out with 7 seconds left in the fourth.
This was like both teams blew so many leads in this game. Like,
yes,
West Virginia led at one point 24-21 in the fourth quarter.
They gave them away
in the fourth quarter. They led 24-21. Houston scored 2 straight touchdowns to go up 35-24. West Virginia scored 2 straight touchdowns, the last of which was the 50 yarder. Like, God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a good day for Dana.
it was a really good that sucks man press conference.
Yes. This was shit happens the game.
Because he was really, after West Virginia scored, he was really trying to hold it together. He was really, if you have ever, like, really made your dad mad in public and he's not the kind of person who wants to yell at you then, he wants to wait. That's how Dana Holgorsen looked. Like, he saw what you did at the assembly, and we will be talking about it later.
Yeah, he's gripping the shit out of that steering wheel.
The thing that makes me slightly insane, and this was, I'm not just spiritually tying this together because I'm me, but this was a spiritual twin of the Tennessee A&M game, in that leads were not taken back and forth. Leads were handed back and forth. And the wild thing about this is Tennessee and West Virginia were both coming off a bye, and I think so was Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That? You did that?
It's fine.
That's you had two. It, you did that.
It's fine.
This is like you got an extension on your taxes, and here is a baggie full of French fry receipts that you sent to the IRS.
It's fine.
Ugh.
Absolutely superb.
There's people dissing Houston in the comments, and I'm going to throw all of you out one by one.
The city or the team?
The city.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic city.
This is not a safe space for you people.
You could take that shit to LinkedIn. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to anti-recommend. That's it. I'm going to anti-recommend all the people in here.
Yeah. Anyone talking shit about Houston, I'm gonna recommend you for being bad at knowing which cities.
I'm going to endorse you for...
Recommended for Excel errors? What? You ruined me.
I'm going to endorse you for ant farm sodomy. What? Best in the business.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know.
It's fine.
Hey, how did they manage to make... TV is a miracle, man. The Idaho game is on right now. The picture is crisp and crystal clear, and they have somehow lit it to where it looks like a normal building and not how it actually looks.
AI. The power of AI.
Like, Big Sky Conference, I know you're not listening because there's an important game on right now, but what is your magic?
They're showing the history of the Little Brown Stein right now in the Idaho... Montana game, and I'm like, the liquids that have been in that thing,
the plasmas that have been that game,
powerful. Yeah.
Don't want to know. Idaho's coach, but go ahead.
Maryland lost to Illinois. We don't have to talk about it, but I just
want. No, it's not September anymore. No. So we're good.
That's allegedly a conference game, mind you.
And it was part of
the worst quad box selection that I've ever seen, which was on offer today.
Which was.
I was subjected to that.
What did you have?
Quad box pulls out some hits. It really does.
No, but there was only one quad box option, at least on my television, for the Tennessee game, and it was Tennessee A&M, Washington, Oregon, which of course I wanted to watch, Texas Southern and Bethune-Cookman, which were each 1-4 okay. heading into this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm all for watching the SWAC, but 1-4, now 2-4 Texas Southern over 1-5 Bethune-Cookman, and the Illinois game. What?
Yeah, I would love to, is it a computer determining these matchups? Like, these cannot be hand-picked, and they cannot be based on, like, audience data.
There was no way to watch, for example, the Florida-South Carolina game and the Tennessee A&M game at the same time. I can't imagine where there would be people who would want to watch both of these games.
There was...
Like, if there was any editorial oversight of assembling these quad boxes, someone would say, let's put all the games from each conference together, right? Or someone would, or they would say, like, let's have one big obvious game should be in every quad box. And I think if... an algorithm was determining these things, it would probably come to that conclusion on its own as well. But they all are fucking random.
There are games that had 17 quad box selections, and there are games that have one.
I think...
And the 17ers aren't necessarily the biggest games.
No!
I think the safest assumption, because it's digital media that we're talking about, is fraud. And that somebody is like, oh, we're gonna juice the fuck out of this Syracuse Florida State game. We're gonna make these ratings.
You know how many people watch
gold.
Illinois? They're crazy for Illinois. It's one of the most viewed games of the day.
Yeah.
So so here's what we do: we get Ohio NIU into every
That's
quad
right. we put
box
a
in
pic-
America.
We put a pixel of Ohio NIU on every channel. And Ohio and NIU becomes America's most beloved team. Now, actually, I'm on board with it. Now, the more that I'm saying it,
there could be some. Listen, seriously, this is how it all comes crashing down, though, because some eagle-eyed reporter is going to go, nah.
Meanwhile, the CW's like, come on over. We got one game. game to watch.
We got one game
to show you.
Carefully selected for you, and then it's 7.
I got a blanket for you and some soup, and we're going to watch one game of football with your old pappy.
And we're gonna sell you a moon pod, and you're going to plop onto it. Look how fun that is. Okay, football's
all
over.
All right, got your pick. I hope you enjoyed your pick game. Time to go night-night.
Time to lay down on our moon pods and think about the one game we watched today.
A moon pod.
I think Atticus is right in the comments. This is one of those build your team posts where you have $15 to spend.
Okay. And Ohio NIU is always free.
Yeah.
You got $4 back, actually.
I came out ahead.
I especially like when Quadbox gives you an alternate broadcast that makes no sense. Like for Clemson, Florida State, the quad box I was getting was the broadcast that has like the stats in the lower half, which basically,
and they don't tell you, they put the fucking McAfee cast in
for
one of the games last week and did not warn
Red
you.
River. They did it for Red River.
Yeah.
And like,
well, and it was the only one available, and it was
mostly, it's like, it renders Quadbox useless because you're like, wait, you gave me the broadcast where the actual football game is already reserved, like cut down to half the screen. So I have like Octbox here, but just
and it's in a quarter of the screen, so I can't read the fucking number.
Right. Yes. It's particularly stupid.
So it was a broadcast with like, what, half the screen is Pat McAfee's face or something?
It's like Pat, yeah, that one is like Pat McAfee being like, hey, I'm here. And
it's a fan cast, but it's
I'm gonna sack tap Matthew McConaughey because that's why you're watching Texas Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
While we're pointing at the TV. That sounds really good.
I want to start one on a quad box, only available at a quad box that you can't actually click to, which is a Manning cast, but it's with like two of the most off putting people in the world.
Okay, Jordan and Aaron Rodgers.
So Notre Dame NBC broadcast.
I was going to say, that show already exists, and it's Pat McAfee's podcast.
Right. Or just two dogs, two animated dogs talking, right? And you can't pick it, because I just
wanted regular dogs.
Right. I just want, but in sweaters, right? So they're like stacked on top of each other like the Manning brothers, right? In box.
No,
they're
describing Ugga.
Right? And they're just talking. And I just want to read the emails from people who are like, hey, man, what the fuck is this? I kept trying to click on the dog cast, and I couldn't get it. And I at least wanted to figure out what the shit this was.
Okay. Do you think
CEO of Comcast.
Do you think
I can't watch the dogs talk.
Do you think if we announced this next week, announced an email campaign, we could convince enough people that it was real, even though they hadn't ever seen it? Because like, oh, if you click over to Multibox and this isn't in your feed, they're not even letting you see the possibility of it.
Yeah, like what is the name of that? The Mandela effect?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
we'll just invent that for this.
And then
this.
People go to the free speech website to demand that the government stop censoring Dogcast.
Yeah. Bring back Dogcast.
Dogcast is great.
Mitchell Comcast is silencing dog view.
People weren't ready for the hard truth the dog cast was spitting.
About Spectrum was
about Auburn.
This is Spectrum.
This is great. We're going to make this happen.
I know.
It was only on for like 45 minutes. I think they pulled the plug on it.
Everybody in here, you're in on the joke. Be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't tell them Dogcast and Fullcast are related. We should have picked a different name.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I think people will deduce that there's a syllable in common, but
I'm gonna rig up a Photoshop of this. Okay.
Oh, good. It'll
look like the Manning cast, but it's gonna be two talking dogs.
Make sure it doesn't look like you made it. Don't leave digital footprints.
No, no, no.
No. It'll be perfect. It'll be seamless.
Cover your tracks.
My metadata is just all going to go back to McAfee. Also
oh, the goddamn Dogcast metadata.
Dogcast was also guaranteed family-friendly programming, which we sorely miss.
Yeah, but that dog dog had his dick out the whole time.
Yeah, well, it's nature.
No, that's Pat McAfee again. Man, I bet that guy's got a weird dick.
Oh, boy.
So fire.com free speech versus Dogcast.
The Supreme Court case we've all been waiting for.
Live on the CW.
There is. I'm not going to dime out yet another famous person for full cast fandom, but there is a fairly high profile Supreme Court journalist who is a long time full cast fan.
There's also, per sources, there's also an NFL owner, and maybe we'll leak more information over time.
Yeah, we
an NFL owner.
We teased this earlier, but when we said the most famous person who listened to the show last week, we then got an email confirming that an NFL owner listens to the show.
Listen to the show at least once, yeah.
We're all a little frightened.
Well, the fucked up thing is that Virginia McCaskey's Virginia Hollis McCaskey is so fucking old. Like 100-year-old Bears owner.
She's down though.
She loves this shit.
And as people are already guessing which owner, I'll just say it's an owner that would amuse
you. It's Dave Chargers. Yeah. It is Dave Chargers. That is correct.
It's Chargers.
Oh, you got it. You got it in one guess, darn. Yeah.
Fuck.
No, we're not gonna tell you, but when we we're absolutely not going to tell you because I don't want to scare him off. This is great.
Knowing this owner, I don't think that's possible.
It's Arthur Blank. He's like, yeah, you guys.
it's Arthur Blank. You guys are married. He's so weird. Actually, like the amount of time he spent near Adult Swim people. It's possible.
Spencer, just want to tell you, fantastic podcast. You guys don't
care. Here's $10 million for Dogcast. I believe in the business.
People.
He does. He has given a lot of money to the zoo.
At least one person has guessed correctly in here so far, but you've already mentioned all the NFL owners, so it doesn't narrow it down at all.
Yeah. I met Arthur Blank once, and he was the best smelling man I've ever met. He smelled so rich.
He smells like numbers next to his name.
Who's the worst smelling man you've ever met?
It's got to be Mark Davis, who I've never met.
Dude, why?
Just imagine.
Wow, he smells that bad through the TV. You know who smells surprisingly good is the Big Show, the wrestler.
Oh, sorry, I need to say one more thing about the NFL owners thing. We are not cheating and saying somebody who owns one share of the Packers listens to the forecast.
No, this is an honest to God owner. Lock, this stock, is an and barrel actual, owner.
Like,
yeah.
Like sole owner billionaire.
I don't think any Packers fan listens to the full cast. So,
no, God, I hope not. We could take care of that in a big hurry.
So,
I mean, their team scored 6 points today. So,
yeah, you know. The Big Show is a fantastic smelling man. You know what other wrestler is noted for using lotions, creams, and colognes to make himself smell amazing in the ring, and people love wrestling him for it? Samoa Joe.
The Big Show is actually full cast aware. I don't know if
second.
I don't know if he listens, but he does know who we are because we got prevented of this by losing our jobs at the end of Full Cast Iteration 1. But when the Big Show did a sitcom on Netflix called Adorably the Big Show Show, the showrunner of that television program is another longtime Full Cast listener. Hello, Jason. Whose name is Jason also. It's a different one.
Sorry, there are Packers fans listening. I didn't know. Well, it's fine.
Well, all right. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, as noted, Steiner Math has returned. Shmoa Joe has made multiple appearances in this episode.
Listen, Shmoa Joe.
I really hope that eventually we can confirm this. And again, we will not. We can't dime him out right now because it would pretty easily reveal our source. But I hope we get this guy near us someday because he would be a fucking hoot to have on the show.
Who?
That guy, our NFL owner fan.
Oh, that one. Yeah. We'll just make a call. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get it done.
Yeah. We would share this with you if we could, but his source would be revealed directly, and we are not going to burn it. Why we love you.
So, on that note, did we forget
6
anything?
Points? God damn it, Wisconsin!
Ah, the fucking Packers breaking my ass, scoring 6 points. The fucking college Packers, the Badgers
took the kids to the game and they fucking hated it.
the kids didn't love it.
Illinois so and Maryland.
I
had to take the kids fucking fishing just to cheer them up. I hate fishing.
We gave up our Deerdorf and Brandy voices due to some real life bullshit on their part, and I really feel like we got to port those voices over to somewhere else. They were too good to quit.
Every Big Ten team who played today scored more points than Wisconsin. All of them. Indiana scored more. Purdue scored more.
Purdue scoring more is really sad, especially in this situation.
I mean, just to make the kids smile, I hit the fucking garbage cans with my car on the way in. I mean, boom! I knocked those fuckers right across the lawn.
What's fucked up is this character in a therapy session. That's the really messed up part.
And then he goes home and like talks about how entertaining the therapist found him. You know, like, that fucking guy sits on that goddamn couch all day and he listens to people bitch and moan at him. I go in there and I tell him some shit. I just watch his face light up and he's like, I look forward to seeing you every week.
Having a great fucking time.
We were cutting up like sailors.
That's the best thing that John ever made me do.
I think it's therapy for him, honestly.
Honestly, he should pay me for an hour of that. I'm going to meet him at the fucking bar after this.
Bar in the basement.
I think the show's done.
Did we forget anything?
Almost certainly.
This is a fun show to record on my back porch at 1 a.m.
The dog is dreaming and her little nose is sniffling.
We're done. Yeah, we're good.
Aww.
We're
good.
She's gorgeous.
Do you want to yell Twitch names like the wash dad that you are?
I love it. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm trying to say hello to the people, our patrons, Ryan. Sorry if you don't understand customer service.
Hey, how much money have we accidentally made on Twitch through this thing, and what are we going to give that like money
about 500
to?
Bucks.
Like a dipshit American trying to speak French for the first time? Go ahead.
Who's the one who has a Twitch channel, Ryan?
Let
me paint my orcs at you.
That's right. Sorry,
when Ryan plays video games, nobody knows.
The future of 2017.
Ryan's out here playing video games in secret. What's he hiding?
Yeah.
When Ryan plays the Spider-Man game, the world can't
That's
watch.
Right. That's right. You're still putting. I bet you still put a disc into the console.
Oh boy, here we go.
Who has their own emote? That's right.
Just fucking yell your names already.
This man's bragging about having an emote.
Like I said, the future of 2017. I'm already there.
All right. Here's a 50-year-old man yelling Twitch names. Go ahead.
Yes. Death Fudge. Uncle Beerus, ServePro, Barbecue.gov, Master Gator, Hot Dog Caesar.
I saw Carl Panthers in here a minute ago. There's Carl Panthers again.
Yeah, there's some of these are StreamYard or LinkedIn commenters, by the way, and they're tend to be the ones with the real extra names, actually.
Hey, if you changed your name to Carl Panthers on LinkedIn, you are my hero.
Change your name to Carl Panthers on LinkedIn. I want recommendations.
Holy shit, I got eight job offers within 2 hours.
I've endorsed you for Panthers.
I'm being hit up by a darn Schefter.
I'm endorsed you by Jungle Cat.
Thanks for joining us. If you've made it this far into the evening,
go to bed.
Yeah, go. Jesus, go to bed.
Full quarter of Montana, Idaho left. Who's going to bed?
These kids need to stop twitching and go to bed.
Back in my day, we wanted to twitch. We'd drink a fucking beer.
Until our nerve endings shorted out.
Good night, Janice.